Cape Talk.
DIY.
Well, building a house and doing a major extension on a property, not tasks you would DIY. However, over the last couple of weeks and months, we've seen a number of questions come in during the DIY segment around issues to do with approval of building plans and questions of how close to the edge of the plot you can build, what rights do I have if my neighbor wants to go up an additional story, etc. So they thought we would get an expert to chat to us today in the segment and try and resolve a couple of those questions and also just do a little bit of education around some of the things you need to consider if you are thinking of doing an extension or perhaps building an entire home. We're delighted to welcome on the line Wernhard Tromp, who is the founder and director of Tromp Architekten, which operates throughout South Africa. Wernhard holds a master's in architecture. We're delighted to have him with us today. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Pippa. Thank you very much, and hello to the audience.
Now, Wernhard, lots of people dream of extending their home, maybe putting in a granny flat so mom and dad can move in after retirement. But the big question is whose permission you actually need and whose plans you need drawn up if you are going to do something on that scale. Let's start with the permission. I mean, what is actually involved? You can't just decide to build an additional room on your house, get a builder and do it. It's a lot more complicated than that.
No, unfortunately, it is not that easy. But the first step for you to do is to approach a professional architect to come up with designs and obviously design proposals. And the most important thing about that is the restrictive conditions surrounding your stand. There's building lines, height restrictions, zoning parameters, etc. that an architect would know to adhere to, and that is what would motivate most of the design.
And those are different for different areas, aren't they? It's not a case of saying nobody can ever build within X meters of the building line. It's going to be different depending on what sort of which suburb you're building in, whether it's a suburban area or an inner city, for example.
Absolutely. It differs from suburb to suburb. There's a development management scheme available online on the City of Cape Town's website that anyone can access and download, and it's possible for you to physically see which area you are in and what your building lines and other restrictions are.
Okay, so where do you say we can access that information, Wernhard?
The City of Cape Town's website.
City of Cape Town's own website. Okay, that's good to know. Now, drawing up plans, you said approach a professional architect for a design. Could you explain to us the difference between what a professional architect does and what a draftsman does? Because I'm not sure that everyone understands the difference and knows which one to call for what sort of job.
Yes, absolutely. Pippa, the thing is, about in 2007, SACAP, which is the South African Council for the Architectural Profession, created a system where architectural professionals must register based on what they call RPL, which is the recognition of prior learning. So you would, with a certain amount of expertise, register as an architectural draftsman, or you can register as an architectural technologist, and then obviously the professional architect. Now, the complexity of the job would determine which category of registration you would be able to use for your project. A small add-on to an existing building could be done by a registered draftsman or technologist, but the identification of work table also set out by SACAP would show you clearly whether you are able to appoint someone of a lower category registration before actually commencing with the project.
Okay. Now, is there a website for that SACAP that you can go and check and find out if the person that you're thinking of using is properly registered?
Yes, it's that's a very important thing to do. I think that before you appoint a professional person, the first thing you should do is you should go onto SACAP's website. It's www.sacapsa.com, and there you can enter the registered person's registration number, and that would clearly tell you whether that person is registered as a draftsman, technologist, or an architect.
Okay, sacapsa.com is that website. Okay, our first question's already coming through, Wernhard. Tony on the SMS line wants to build a braai and pizza oven between his patio and the Vibrocrete wall, which he shares with the neighbor. Would I need plans would I need plans drawn up for this, he asks?
Yeah, the thing is, it differs from situation to situation, but I think the most important thing is if there's brickwork to be done, any wet works or any covered areas that is encroaching on the building line, you would most certainly have to get consent from your neighbor before starting off with the project. And that is what the City of Cape Town or the local authority would expect of you in any ways. They won't approve the drawing beforehand if you do not have the consent form from your neighbour.
And again, that's the standard form you can get from that website. Is it, Savannah, let me just be clear here. When do you need to ask the neighbour's permission? Is it only if the work extends very, very close to their property? Or if, for example, you want to build something on the other side of your house that isn't even clear, close to their home, do you still have to ask their permission?
No. How it works is if you stick to the restrictive conditions of your stand or your property, which is the building lines, the height restrictions, the zoning, etc. If you stick within those parameters, then you do not need permission from your neighbor to do the project. If you want to encroach on the building line or you want to amend the height restriction, that's when you're going to have to get the permission from your neighbour that consent.
Okay, so if you are deviating from what is the prescribed norm in your neighbourhood,
yes,
you do have to ask.
Yes.
Okay, thanks for clarifying.
Absolutely.
That. We're going to take a call from Paul in OBS, and then I want to speak about the issue of views, because we really had a couple of questions about who owns the view, if anyone. Before we go there, though, Paul on the line from OBS wants to talk about heritage status of houses. Paul, good afternoon.
Hi, thanks, folks. Vena, can you tell me if a house is deemed a heritage house in Observatory, it's over 100 years old, and you want to sell it, what are the conditions? Can it be changed, or must they keep that facade, or how does it affect the sale going forward? How do they get over any hurdles if somebody wants to, for instance, knock down a heritage house and build a complex on it, which I'm not keen on?
Great question, sure. Paul. Bernard?
Yeah, Paul, you know, that's a very difficult thing to do. A heritage building is usually registered as a heritage building for a reason. To get past those laws, you're going to have to apply, you know, the specific applications that needs to be made. But it's a difficult thing to do. You'd see that the Cape Quarter building in the Waterkant.
Yes.
That building, they renovated the entire building, but they kept the front facade as is because it was heritage building. So to demolish a heritage building down to the ground is going to be a very difficult thing to do.
Okay, I'm sure that's good news. Paul, do you feel that perhaps it's too easy, being too easily disregarded in your neighborhood?
Yeah, definitely an observatory. And I just find that, how does one sort of stand for your rights? Where do you go to?
So you do not want the building to be demolished, if I understand correctly?
No.
Do you know whether the building is registered as a heritage building?
It's over 100 years old, and I've been told, but I'd like to know, how can I find out if it is registered?
I'm not sure. I'll have to get back to you on that one. Heritage buildings, I know, need to be registered. So where you check whether the building is registered as heritage, I'm not exactly sure.
I think Heritage Western Cape would be the good starting point there. And Paul, they've got a website, hwc.org.za, which might be a good place to start. And they're probably the best people to phone if you have concerns you'd like to discuss. I know they have been active in a number of cases where people have strayed from the rules around heritage buildings. Yeah. Vaynant, I think important to say that a heritage building doesn't necessarily have to be a really, really 150-year-old building. People might be surprised. The age, is it 80 years, I think, and older, or even less than that?
It's 60.
60.
It's 60 years, actually. So what would happen if you appoint an architect for a project like that? The first thing the architect would do is he would determine whether that building is registered as a heritage building, because that would be red tape immediately. And the process of going about that project it's not impossible, but it's much more complicated than just demolishing something.
Okay. Paul, thanks for raising a very important aspect to the conversation, and I hope Heritage Western Cape can give some input there. Speaking of building lines, somebody's SMS'd asking, could you let us know what building line you need to put up a LARPA? The answer is going to be, Vaynant, it depends on where you live, doesn't it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, if you have a building line, and you want to encroach on that building line, that it's the same principle. You're going to have to apply for an encroachment on that building line if you want to go over it. It's the same for all suburbs, regardless of what the building line is for the specific suburb. If you want to encroach on the building line, you're going to have to ask permission for it.
Okay, thanks. Whoever that was, please do go onto the City of Cape Town website and check out what the building lines are for your particular suburb. Now, let's deal with the thorny issue of the view. I know it has actually gone to court previously, Venant, the issue of does anybody have a right to a view. So if you have a home, say in Greenpoint with a lovely sea view, and the person buys the plot in front of you and decides to put up a double story house that blocks your view, are you able to contest that? Again, does it come down to what the height restrictions are in the neighborhood? Does anybody own the right to a view?
It absolutely depends on what the height restriction is in the area. The thing is, Papa, the national building regulations actually are in place. Section 7 of the National Building Regulations are there to protect the neighboring residences and the adjacent properties against situations like that. But it does happen on the Atlantic seaboard and everywhere else, to be honest, where people feel they need to protect their view. And unfortunately, if they are not encroaching on the height restriction of the land use rights, then you will have to go to court to fight that. And it happens all the time. So it is possible, but it's a tedious process.
Okay. Interesting one here. Someone going back to the issue of getting neighbors' permission, asking me on the email, this comes from Sam in Rosebank. What if I feel a neighbor is objecting on spurious grounds? So they've said no. If I read between the lines of Sam's email, they've proposed an extension or some kind of alteration. The neighbor has objected, and Sam doesn't believe their objection is a justifiable one. Is it sorry for you, too bad, Sam? Or does Sam have any recourse to sort of challenge that issue?
If he's encroaching, I assume if I understand correctly, he wants to encroach on the building line.
He's not saying the nature of the project, just that a neighbor has objected and he doesn't think the objection is justified.
Yeah, it's difficult to answer that question, because if he did encroach on the building line and he needs the consent form from the neighbor, then you would have to, I don't know, you would have to go to council, and they would have to look at, they are the authority to, at the end of the day, decide, is it possible or not? Can you do it or not? So if there is an objection, I would suggest the architect from day one, do not encroach the building line if that is the situation. But anything can be contested in court, and, you know, it's something you want to try and avoid. But I believe in communication. So if I was in that situation as the architect, I would go to the neighbor and I would say to him, listen, I'm willing to accommodate your concerns. Explain to me what it is that's bothering you about the application, and I'll see how I can amend it or revise the drawings accordingly so that so that both parties are happy with the end result.
I think that's very sage advice, Venant. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Venant Tromp, who's the founder and director of Tromp Architekten. Venant, thank you so much for your input
You're
this afternoon.
Welcome.
Great to have you with us on the show, and I hope it won't be the last time. Good day to you further.